Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, November 28th, 2019, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 70, the fourth paragraph. In this book you read again, we'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Laura R., who will be reading the 12 steps, Miriam Rifka H., who will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Robin P., Eileen M., and Dion R. The share ID for Wednesday, November 27th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 13,722, 13722. And for this morning's November 28th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the share ID is 13,726, 13726. Our newcomer greeter for today is Ramona A., and Janice P.M. will be making the announcements. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Laura R. to read the 12 steps.
Thank you. This is Laura R., recovered compulsive overeater out in Colorado, and happy Thanksgiving. 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. And thank you for letting me be of service. I pass.
And thank you, Laura R. Okay, Miriam Rifka H., would you read the 12 traditions, please?
Good morning. Thank you for your service. This is Miriam Rifka H., compulsive eater in New Jersey. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principle before personality.
Thank you, Miriam Ripka. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 70, the fourth paragraph in this book you read again. We'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. And good morning, Robin P. If you could get us started, please.
Thank you, Kathleen. I'm Robin P. I'm a very, very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Vero Beach, Florida, currently in New Orleans with family. In this book, you read again and again that faith did for us what we could not do for ourselves. We hope you are convinced now that God can remove whatever self-will has blocked you off from him. If you have already made a decision and an inventory of your grosser handicaps, you have made a good beginning. That being so, you have swallowed and digested some big chunks of truth about yourself. Well, this is all a faith walk for me. You know, I lived in fear. Just, I was addicted to fear and isolation for most of my life. No matter how I looked on the outside, which is all I cared about, I was a ball of fear, that self-centered fear on the inside. And it's such a miracle to walk in faith today and to walk. My abstinence is part of my faith with God. You know, we're here visiting family, and it's such a blessing to be a blessing to them instead of being the problem or instead of being the isolator or the negative person who's just so addicted to negativity. And to actually be the one that people say, wow, she's such a positive spirit. That is recovery in action for me. And I'm so thankful today. And I'm a vegan. I'm a gluten-free vegan. And wow, that's a, you know, that's faith on Thanksgiving in America. And, you know, God just keeps taking such good care of us. My husband and myself, we're both gluten-free vegans. And, you know, we just keep showing up and God keeps taking care of us. And we went to this amazing organic gluten-free vegan restaurant last night. And God just keeps taking care of us. And, you know, I'm so grateful. And I feel that it's so important to have faith. And while we're here, we had our dog in Rover. It's like Airbnb for dogs. And we brought her to this place where the man is a minister. We didn't know that. And he started praying for us and talking to us. And he said, you know, you can have faith in God. It's so important to have faith in God. And you need, what most Christians miss is that you offer up that faith in yourself. And it's like turning my will and my life over to the care of God and then doing my part. You know, and trusting in my faith walk with God. And, you know, I'm an inventor, and as an inventor, you have to have a lot of faith. You have to believe in something that no one else sees or, you know, imagines, and then create that and keep walking hand in hand and then go through manufacturing things and all kinds of things. It's all a faith walk and abstinently and in recovery. And, you know, I love these steps because I get to turn my fears over to the care of God. You know, it's not the abuse of God. It's not the childhood, you know, parental figures. It's the faith in a caring, loving God and praying only for knowledge of his will for me and the power to carry that out. It keeps it so simple, and it unblocks me from him. And making that decision that they're talking about in this paragraph, in the third step, and then the fourth and fifth step, you know, you've made a good beginning. And I love that it said, that being so, you have swallowed and digested some big chunks of truth about yourself. This is soul food. This is God's food. This is the food that fills me up instead of leaving me empty. You know, and one last thing I just wanted to share. Oh, sorry. Okay, just wrap up. I was anorexic at times, bulimic at times, and a compulsive overeater at times. To me, it was all the same thing. And the bulimia thing was the hardest part to let go of. And I realized how depriving it is. And to receive God's nourishment, his medicine for me in food is such a blessing. God bless all of you with a wonderful, happy, healthy Thanksgiving and a very abstinent one. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Robin P. Thanks for getting us started. So who else would like to share on this paragraph, page 70,
Charles
the fourth paragraph?
Charles
A.
Donna E.
Donna M.
Lisa G.
Bruce E.
I got Ruth E. I got Lisa G.
Eileen B.
I'm not, you're overlapping.
Denise B.
What? Who's
C? Please repeat what paragraph we're on.
Denise B.
Oh, Denise. Was it Denise? Was it Denise with a C, as in cat?
With a B, like B, like boy. Thank you.
B like boy.
Yeah.
I Donna B. This is Donna B. I heard you say Donna G.
Donna, what's the first initial, Donna?
B, as in boy.
Okay, and I'll take one more.
Irene B.
Okay. Ah, my pen's run out of ink. Okay, we're on page 70, the fourth paragraph, and I have Charles H., Bruce E., Donna B., I think it was Lisa G., Denise B., and Irene B. So go ahead, Charles H.
Thank you very much, moderator. Yep, I got patience. I ain't like, you know, before. All right, Charles H., a recovered compulsive overeater. I want to drill down where it says, we hope that you are convinced now that God can remove whatever self-will has blocked you off. You know, the first speaker was talking about faith without works is dead. Well, works without faith is dead. You know, I know a lot of people, including myself, when I did this work, I didn't believe it, which was a second step issue. You know, I could do all the work I want, have a million resentments written down pretty, 15 notebooks, and I don't believe or trust in this work. Or I don't believe that you guys are who you are, that you're just coming on the line every single day faking it, right? Like, you know, it doesn't matter what you eat. It matters what's eating you, right? Like I'm going to my mom pressed my buttons. No matter how much times I try to make an amends, she pressed the buttons. And in my weakness, it says in this chapter, in my weakness, it's paradoxically where I find strength. If I come on the line and act like I'm Superman and I can answer every question, that means I'm playing God, right? And it says on page 62, we got to quit doing that, right? So paradoxically, weakness is strength, right? I don't got to act like I know everything. I don't know what's going to happen today, but I pray that God will give me patience and tolerance for this 80-year-old woman, that I'm grateful that she's still alive. Now, I tell regular folks that she pressed my button, you should be lucky she's alive. Yes, I am lucky. She still pressed my button, right? And I'm admitting that, and that's weakness. And paradoxically, that's where I get my strength from. So y'all pray for me as I pray for y'all. Happy Thursday. No matter what day it is, every day is Thanksgiving, every day is Christmas. But if I pick up that first compulsive bite, it will be Halloween. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Charles H. Okay, Bruce E., you're up next, followed by Donna B.
Okay, Bruce E. in Florida. And grateful to be on the line. Thank you, everybody. It says here in this book, you read again and again. I noticed it says that twice, read again and again, that faith did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. Well, something had to do something for me, because I tried doing this myself. You know, I tried all the white knuckling and trying to all the diets and everything and dieting with group support and all that, and none of that worked. So It says here, faith works. Well, that's pretty simple. It's almost too simple for me. It's so simple I almost missed it, you know. It's so clear I almost missed it, but that's it. Faith worked for us we could not do for ourselves. We hope you are convinced now that God can remove whatever self-will has blocked you off from him. I'm not sure if I said my name. I'm Bruce. I'm down in Florida recovering. We hope you are convinced God will remove whatever. So I'm wondering all while we're doing this chapter here how it works, how I'm going to get rid of the self-will. And I've tried surrendering it, and I guess that works pretty good. But it says here that God can remove whatever self-will has blocked you off from him. So I need to trust God and just clean house, you know, and step out in faith and try to help somebody. And I think that's it, too, is that God removes it as I try to help other people. And I think that's probably the key on this is helping others. If you already made a decision and an inventory of your grosser handicaps, you have a good beginning. So the decision, I understand, is step three, you know, the step three prayer, or turning my will and my life over to God. That's a decision. And an inventory of grosser handicaps. Well, I can't come on the line here and tell my grosser handicaps because you guys would all get grossed out by my grosser handicaps. So I tell them to my sponsor, and he gets to sit around and listen to those. Thank you, Charles. And grosser handicaps, you have made a good beginning. Well, that sure is a beginning. That's a whole lot better beginning than I had before turning over my will and my life to God by making a decision and telling my grosser handicaps somebody. That's a darn good beginning. That being so, you have swallowed and digested some big chunks of truth about myself. I sure have. And it sure helps to let that stuff out and let that stuff go. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Brucey. Okay, Donna B., you're up next, followed by Lisa G.
This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver. One of the things that strikes me about this paragraph is that you've made a good beginning. And this comes immediately after completing a fourth step, which is a lot of work. And what it reminds me is that throughout the book, it uses the word beginning, started, you know, over and over again. And for me, every 10 step that I do, every nightly review that I do, is yet again another beginning. And I continue to learn through this program and through the actions of this program and see myself always as a beginner, always at the beginning of a journey that lies ahead of me. Steps 12 says, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. And in that statement, there's something that says to me that I'm not going to have a spiritual awakening until after I've completed all of the steps. And here we find this paragraph at the conclusion of step four, that faith did for us what we could not do for ourselves, that we hope you're convinced now that God can remove whatever self-will has blocked you off from him. And for those of us who struggle with having a concept of God or having a deep belief in God, I just want to say that it's okay to keep moving forward. It's okay to keep having beginnings. It's okay to keep taking the actions, even if, like myself, you don't believe that your faith in God is as strong as the people around you. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna B. Okay, Lisa G., you're up next, followed by Denise B.
Okay, Lisa G. recovered in Texas, and I can't even believe that I'm able to comment on this. I never thought that I would change, never. Never thought. When I heard all you guys, I've only been listening for a year, and when I'd listen to you guys, I'd be like, you know, that's not going to happen for me, this miracle of God removing, you know, whatever. And I had no idea. And I want to go back to the third step, because when I got to the third step, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God, I really balked at that, because I had had a very strong faith in God when I was younger. I'm 64 now. And when I was 29, this is what I was thinking. God let my little brother die of melanoma. And I got to watch this horrible, horrible, just like the worst death ever. And at that point, I lost my trust in God. I still believed in God, but I didn't trust God. And so therefore, I didn't even know how much anger and whatever kind of crap was going on in me. So, okay, coming to the fourth step now. When I went to do the third step, I told my sponsor, you know, I can't release my life to the care of this God that I don't trust. But then after looking at it for so long, I went, wait a minute, it says, as I understood him. Okay, well, I don't understand him at all, so that's how I understand him, so I'll go for it. So then on to the fourth step, and when I saw, like, how am I being selfish, how am I being self-seeking, you know, how am I being dishonest, all the things, just blew my mind, because I thought it was all God's fault, you know, and I don't know how this happened. This is the crazy thing when it says God can remove whatever self-will has blocked you off from him. I have no idea how God did this, but for 35 years of my brother being dead, I would wake up every day and sit in my grief and cry and depress and all this. And somehow doing these steps, God removed that. He just removed it. I have no idea how. I can talk to you about my brother all day long and I don't shed a tear. I don't know how it happened. That was the thing that was blocking me off from him. You know, other things too, but that was my main one. And so, you know, if like what the previous speaker said, if you're having a problem with this, just keep doing what your sponsor tells you to do. You know, I trusted her, and so I did what she asked me to do. And she had a lot of recovery, and I wanted what she had. And that's the bottom line. So just don't give up. I'm not giving up. I know this isn't going to be, you know, other things are coming up. My father-in-law is in a nursing home right now. Thank you. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much. Y'all have a great day.
Thank you, Lisa G. Okay, Denise B., you're up next, followed by Irene B.
Thank you so much. Hi, this is Denise B. from New York, gratefully recovered. Happy Thanksgiving. Thank you so much for allowing me to share. You know, step four was one of those steps where, you know, you read steps one, two, and three. I'm like, yeah, I could do that. Yeah, I could do that. Yeah, I could do that. I don't think I could do step four. How am I going to do step four? But step four actually gave me the most release. It was when I really became neutral around the food. And it was like taking this huge weight just off of my shoulders that I didn't even know I was carrying. I just remember, like, the next day, you know, I did it at night, and then the next morning I woke up and I just felt different. You know, they said that step four is one of the steps that a lot of people go back into the food because it's hard to deal with. And I just say to everyone, you know, who's coming up to this step, it is the most amazing step. It's such a gift to be able to get rid of these things. And then obviously as a recovered person doing it, sometimes daily, sometimes more than once a day in step 10. I just had the pleasure of going through step four, step five with one of my sponsees. And, you know, she had been in another 12-step program for years. And so really didn't think that she had any resentments. She's, you know, because she's working another program. And she was able to come up with some resentments. And she found out these things about herself that she didn't even know she was struggling with. And that's kind of the beauty of this program. We get to learn things about ourselves that help our lives become better, help us feel better about ourselves, just from kind of trusting in another person and taking the instructions in these book, in this book. I love that it says, you know, you have made a good beginning, because it is just a beginning. You know, I talk to people who have been in this program for years and the things that they've learned about themselves. And I'm new to this program just this year, and I had never done a 12-step program. And I've learned so much. It's like I was in therapy before for years and I didn't learn half as much. So it's kind of an amazing thing. I don't know. I don't know if this is my favorite step, but it's definitely the one that helped me, you know, immeasurably and continues to do so. And again, this is all because I'm being open and willing to allow whatever this power is into my life to help me. So I just, you know, this meeting has helped me so much, and I'm so grateful to everyone on this line who shares on a regular basis, and, you know, all the honesty on this line. So thank you so much, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Denise B. Okay, before we take Irene, just a reminder, we are on page 70, the fourth paragraph in this book you read again. We're reading and commenting on that one paragraph only, and I'll be taking some more names after Irene. So go ahead, Irene, please.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I am Irene B., a very gratefully recovering bulimic and emotional eater from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. So we have come to the end of this chapter, but oops, I got a call coming in.
Okay. Then I'm going to open the line up for more names. Who else would like to share on page 70, the fourth paragraph?
Cindy B.
Irina.
Julie E.B.
Okay.
Eileen.
Okay, I only got Eileen. What's the first initial of your last name?
M.
M. Okay, I got Julie E.B. and Eileen M.
Leia.
Vicky
B.
Or
did I hear a Vicky?
Liz.
Did I hear a Vicky?
Yes, Vicky B.
B as in boy, and I heard a Mark. I heard a Irene. Hold on. I heard a Margaret. What's the first initial of your last name, Margaret?
N.
N as in Nancy.
Yes.
And did I hear Devorah?
Liz.
Yes, Delora PB.
Okay, hold it. We're gonna have to stop there. Did I hear Devorah?
Yes, you heard Delora PB.
Oh, Delora. And what was the first initial, Delora?
P as in Paul, B as in boy, PB.
PB. And then did I hear Lorraine? I've got you, Irene. Hold on. Did I hear Lorraine?
You. Yes, Lorraine N.
And what's your N as in Nancy? Lorraine?
Yes, N is in Nancy.
N is in Nancy. Okay. So, Irene, I'm going to give you 2 minutes, and then I have Julie E.B., Eileen M., Vicky B., Margaret N., Delora P.B., and Lorraine N. I think I've got that right. So take 2 minutes, Irene. Go ahead, please.
Okay. Very well. I'm going to try to do that. So, I'm Irene B., a very gratefully recovering bulimic from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And I will say, in 2 minutes, that this is the beginning for me, that I'm glad that I worked the steps and I learned about my past, but the most important thing is that I got some tools to work with my present, and that is teaching me what it is that I do, that I go around stepping on people's toes. And when they retaliate, I'm a victim. I'm a complete victim. It's like, poor me. And I have no idea why people are so mean to me, because I've never been able to see my side of the story where I stepped on people's toes and they retaliate. And that is so powerful, because if I'm not the problem, then there is no solution. So since I'm the problem and I can only control myself, there is a solution. The problem is that I couldn't figure that out on my own. And the problem is that I did not have the power to do the things that I needed to do to become the person I so badly wanted to become. I just didn't have it in me. I didn't know how. I didn't have the power and I didn't have the know-how. But this program is teaching me how to connect to the power that makes a better life possible. This is giving me the power to do the right thing, to look at my side of it, to grow up, to see how I'm responsible for my behavior and others are not responsible for me. And with that, I will pass with a heart full of gratitude. Thank you all, to each and every one of you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Irene B. Okay, Julie E.B., you're up next, followed by Eileen M.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado. Hopefully not too loud in here, but I am so grateful for this paragraph and for this section of the book. You know, one of the secret little prayers, as I was highlighting through the book, that I found is, God, do for me what I cannot do for myself. It's one of the first prayers we find there, and then we hear it as a promise, we hear it as an instruction, we hear it as a warning. But, I mean, look at this. If you've been through, written down a lot, in this book you will read again and again, faith did for us what we could not do for ourselves. So it's just when I get to the end of myself, which is what abandon means, having run my course. I think of a puppy. They run around in circles, then they collapse. A toddler, they run around in circles and collapse. A teenager, they spin and spin and spin, and then they're like, oh, no, what do I do? And myself the same. When I get to the end of myself, that's when I find abandon. That's when I find my higher power meeting me there. We hope you are convinced that God can remove whatever self-will has blocked you. This is God's job. One of the number one things that I can get into and see in others is that we turn this next step after the fourth step into trying to remove stuff ourselves, kind of a self-improvement diet of sorts. But God is the one that can remove the self-will that's blocked me off from God. So if you've made a decision, an inventory, I have a good beginning. Today I have a good beginning. You know, I got on the early meeting and then thought, oh, look, this stuff was delivered from Amazon. I think I'll call them and spend 28 minutes trying to figure out why my porch is empty. Hey, it's just the beginning. Once again, I'm hoping that on my day on call today, that this will prepare me to realize that I need to be of service to other people, and I need to act maybe a little bit differently than I did on that phone call and be more attentive to the feelings of others, because I find God gives me experiences. And if I'm in the sixth step, willing to learn from them and to hear the challenges and see the difficulty that I've got myself into, this is just when I can be open to God's removing. We are making a good beginning. And I, too, like previous shares, love that we're always beginning. I'm beginning today. And if you're out there and you think you cannot make a beginning today, please reach out, because we can begin each and every day. And I'm beginning today in many ways the same way you are. I do have some tools. I do have a spiritual awakening to go back to, but I'm willing to begin with you again today. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Okay, Eileen M., you're up next, followed by Vicki B.
Good morning, everybody. This is Eileen M. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. And I'm also looking at that line, faith did for us what we could not do for ourselves. And I was thinking about this, and faith is the principle of step three. And, you know, for so many years, I ran my life on self-reliance and self-will and fear. I didn't have faith in anything. I thought, you know, it was all up to me. And that's how I just lived. I lived that way. And, you know, God couldn't help me with this addiction, you know, until I made the decision to go through with the process. And in the beginning, someone suggested to me, someone in the program suggested that I act as if and be open. And fortunately, I had enough desperation to be open-minded and to, you know, believe that, yeah, yes, maybe this could happen to me. You know, maybe this miracle of healing could happen to me as well. And this was definitely the best decision I ever made in my life. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me, to be free, you know, to do the process and to be free of the addiction and to keep doing the process every day, you know, to just keep on doing the step work. And, you know, for today, it's Thanksgiving. Someone in my face-to-face meeting the other day said, you know, it's just another Thursday, and I'm just going to let the day unfold and just keep reminding myself I'm not running the show today, you know, and just let it unfold. And I wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Eileen M. Okay, Vicki B., you're up next, followed by Margaret N.
Oh, thank you so much. And it's Vicki V, V as in Vicki, from Long Island, New York. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody today, 2019. I cannot believe that I am on the phone with Vision for You, actually taking part in the meeting today as a recovered fellow in this program. I am convinced today that God is in charge. And if I ask Him every day to remove the self-will that blocks me from His sunlight, He does so. I don't wake up a recovered compulsive overeater, sugar addict every morning. I wake up a confused, committee-filled brain person who, you know, what do we say, a human having a spiritual being having human experience. And so I have to do the work. You know, I get up and I think, well, let me get started on the day. And all of a sudden I'm agitated and I'm hurting others. Why? Oh, wait, I didn't do my prayer and meditation. I didn't do my readings. And that's what I need to do every day to keep me balanced in this program. Step four was amazing at showing me where I am selfish, self-centered, dishonest, and afraid. For me, faith is the opposite of fear, and I can find myself in fear every day. But I don't want to sit in fear anymore. And that's the great part of this, is I have a choice. I'm not responsible for my first thought. It's always going to come from the diseased side of my mind. But my second thought is always that there is a better way. This program offers 11 steps to find my higher power, to find a God that loves me and works for me in my life. And once I discover that God, I now work for Him and with Him by helping others. This step continues to uncover, discover, and discard my character defenses that grew into a handicap when living as an adult in this world. And I have a choice today, and I choose recovery. I want to send love and light to every single one of you today, whether you're speaking or not. You are all loved and lovable. Thank you for letting me share. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Vicki V. Okay, Margaret N., you're up next, followed by Delora P.B.
Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you all for your service that makes this meeting. I'm from Loomis, California. It's Northern California. And I think the best way I've ever heard the fourth step described is I am clearing away the things that are blocking the sunlight of the Spirit. And it's true. And I just recently did a fourth step on myself, and it was amazing. The fearful part, I'm afraid of failing, not being perfect, not being good enough, and then not being loved. And I've never, that not being loved was like a hot ember of a coal burning my soul until it came out on paper. It's the first time it's came out on paper. And it was like, whew, that's it right there. And actually, it cleared away enough for me to become aware that I am very loved by many people. And I just, without this program, I wouldn't have realized it. And so I just say to everyone, please keep coming back. It's I found answers here that I've never found before, and I have an openness to the divine spirit of God that I've never had before, and God is more real in my life than ever, and it's just the most amazing thing. It's incredible. So that's it. Happy Thanksgiving, and eat like it's another Thursday. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Margaret N. Okay, Delora PB, you're up next, followed by Lorraine N.
All right, so good morning. I'm Delora from Wisconsin, recovered overeater. And so I look at this as a paragraph of Thanksgiving. You know, as a recovered overeater, when we struggle, anyone who's struggling, every day is Thanksgiving, not just one day. We are thankful every day for a new day to start all over to do what we need to do. But for this paragraph, for me, I looked at it as a Thanksgiving because as I worked through this stuff and write those resentments, I came to realize that my resentment, because I'm a believer that I'm on this earth to be of service, and God put me on this earth to be of service. And every time I have those resentments, that it blocks me from doing God's work. And so every time that I have a resentment, I'm selfish. I'm teaching like my kids or even other people how to be mean and evil and lack of service to anyone else. I'm not showing anyone how to act or be a better person by when I'm in my resentments or I'm feeling selfish or discontent or whatever. And so as I began to work through those steps, I realized that, you know, all the things I was doing about was all about me was blocking God's will and blocking me from God 100%. And so every time now I'm doing the 10 step, 11 step, all that stuff, I'm able to see that, okay, now I'm upset for what? And how is that keeping me from seeing God, hearing God, and doing God's will? And so as I continue to work through the steps, I realize that, you know, I got to keep working at it every day, and I'm thankful every day that God gives me another day, another minute, another hour to do right and fix it according to his will, though, and stay in prayer with that. And so, yeah, I'm just thankful for this paragraph because it just reminds me that it was me that blocked God. It was my stuff that kept him from using me. It was me, and it's, you know, and what was my part in that? And as I look at that, and I can realize that, I only can depend on him, and I need to rely on him, and that's it. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Delora PB. Okay, Lorraine, and you're up next. And after Lorraine, I can probably take...
Hi, good morning.
One Happy more person.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead, Lorraine.
Okay, sure. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone on the line. This is a perfect day to express my gratitude. Well, every day is good for that, but... Anyway, a few weeks ago, I began the process of going through the big book with my new vision sponsor. Every day, we read it, study it, I write on it, and I've just never been through this process this deeply with a sponsor. So I am just overflowing with gratitude about so many things. I got to meet my sponsor at the convention, which I was fortunate enough to get to, and... Anyway, relating to this paragraph, raised in a religion that taught me of a very fearful God, I turned away from all things religious for many years. Believed in God, but didn't pay much attention to him. So now, studying the big book with my spiritual guide, I believe this person is a very spiritual person who has many years of sobriety and abstinence. I clearly see that God is working in his life, and I want what he has, and I see it working in the lives of so many others. So because of that, I'm beginning to believe if it can happen for them, it can happen for me. I'm so grateful for Visions, the convention, which really had an impact on me. It was amazing. And the wonderful spiritual soldiers on this phone line. I can't think of a better way to start my Thanksgiving day. I'm at my son's in San Diego. I'm from Oregon, but I'm in San Diego right now, and I'm just so grateful to be surrounded by the love of my family and have the opportunity to give love to my grandkids and my son and his wife. So thank you for letting me share, and blessings on us all. I'll pass.
Thank you, Lorraine N. Okay, I think I can take two more people.
Adam?
Nancy L.
I heard Matt and Nancy L. Okay, let's go with Matt and then Nancy. Go ahead, Matt.
I can
thank you very much. Thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. This is Matt M., a compulsive overeater over here in New Jersey. First, I want to say happy Thanksgiving to everybody else, or as we say, happy Thursday. I don't really need to have plans. I made my own plans today. I was supposed to have plans with a friend, but they posted me. So I'm just basically learning how to realize that I don't have – God is taking care of me. And one day at a time, because this person has food that I don't eat on my food plan. I'm just newly abstinent again, 13 days in. And I realized there's a reason why I'm not getting in touch with that friend. I finally realized that because I'm not meant to go there. So I'm going to keep my abstinent food with me today and just take it one day at a time and have another day under my belt. Like I said, it's just a Thursday. Today's amateur hour, and I don't need to be around tons and tons of food to get to feel love from other people. I feel plenty of love with my friends and the family I do have by calling them or reaching out, going on meetings today. There's probably a marathon going on today, and I realize for me, connection to my higher power, I feel closer and closer. Excuse me. Now that I'm working with my new sponsor that I'm working through the big book with, and I'm taking it 1 hour at a time, because I don't need any extra food to make you feel loved. I don't need anything extra in my life to make me feel loved. I feel loved just as I am, one day at a time, by the people around me, the people I choose to have around me. And I'm getting rid of the people who are negative out of my life. I don't need to have people who don't have my best interest at heart. And then the only person who does have my best interest is my higher power. And I'm very grateful I'm online today. And thank you all for sharing. And everybody have a happy, wonderful, safe Thanksgiving. That passed. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. Okay, Nancy L., it's your turn. Go ahead.
All right. Thank you. Nancy L. in Arizona. If you have already made a decision and an inventory of your gross or handicaps, you have made a good beginning. And, you know, the belief of myself was I'm just different than all of you people. All of you recovered people, I am different. I'm just not able. I'm not able, not able, not able. And finally, after 6.5 years of listening to these wonderful people on this meeting, I believed I can be one of them too. And so I did start to swallow and digest some big chunks of truth about myself. And I heard the same things that came out of your mouth, that, oh my gosh, you guys did what I did. And if you have, and you have what I can have, all I have to do is follow these principles. And I'm so grateful. Almost 6 months for abstinent, very, very thankful today. And thank you for all of your work that you do to make this meeting possible. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy L. Would anyone like to take the last 2 minutes?
Stacy B.
Okay, Stacy, go ahead. Go ahead, Stacy.
Thank you. Yes. When they talked about the faith and can you still hear me? Can you still hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
When they talked about the faith, you know, as children we were told, you know, by the adults, if something bad happens, we need to pray to God. If we had enough faith, we could, you know, have a, you know, the outcome we wanted. And that kind of set us up for not trusting God. What we should have been told was we have to pray for strength for the person that's going through this and for ourselves. God will give us strength. And not be so outcome-based. And like the previous callers, I thought God was a tyrant because I was witnessing some pretty awful things. And now that I know who God really is, a person that's going to give me strength and faith to walk through what life gives me, you know, not necessarily what God's testing me for or anything like that, but what life gives me, God is going to be there every step of the way with me. And the faith comes from, you know, listening, going to the phone meetings, listening to you guys. Because when I don't have faith, faith is like a contagious thing. When you're around it, you're going to get it. And when I hear your stories and hear about your faith, my mind shifts and I get it. And so I want to thank you all for giving me faith. And that's the best Thanksgiving that I could ever have. And with that, it'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Stacy. Okay, thank you everyone who shared today, and thank you Team Thursday, Laura R., Miriam Rifka H., Robin P., Eileen M., Dion R., Ramona A. and Janice P.M. Special thanks to all of you, and happy Thanksgiving, everyone. We're going to now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Eileen M., would you please read a vision for you?
Good morning again. This is Eileen M., gratefully recovered in New Hampshire. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.